It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, normally along with Tom Claxton, but he's a little under the weather tonight, so Charlie and I are going to be doing the show by ourselves, and we're going to try and get Brian Smith, the sales manager from UJ Chevrolet, to call in here a little bit later on this evening.
One thing you'll find, Kevin, is when you do a two-man show and one of the co-hosts is out for whatever reason, for the other guy, it's kind of a lonely feeling. Empty
well,
room.
Yeah, you usually have to have someone to bounce some stuff off of here and there, but that's all right. We'll get through it.
I'll try to be your trampoline
there
tonight.
There you go. We encourage everybody to call in with your questions. If you have any questions, give us a call, 343-0106.
And I forgot to check the screen. Is the text machine on?
I've got it up and going.
So you can text your questions or comments to the same number, no matter where you are in Florida, Mississippi, or South Alabama.
Yep. The show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, Mobile's oldest GM dealer, Alabama Pipe and Supply, and Ed's Seafood Shed, one of Tom's favorite places to eat.
I'll tell you what now. Tom and Cal have been out at Ed's with the Scuttlebutt Show on Wednesdays because of Auburn basketball taking out their showtime. And they've been having a great time out there. And I think Sean has, too, with the Midday Mobile, the noon hour.
I think it's more about the food than the radio stuff. I just have to believe that.
You know? And I know they've done a lot of refurbishing and redoing of the menu, but a lot of the old favorites are still there from the many years when Ed and Barbara had the place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They've kept up the tradition and plus the new stuff they're doing for all the veterans and that out there and first responders. They do a really good service to the community for sure. But you can also get some good vittles there. Yeah, they got some really good food.
I think I know the answer to this question, Kevin, but maybe our listeners don't. Just what does the shop foreman, and you happen to be that person at UJ Chevrolet, what does the shop foreman actually do?
You ever been to a daycare and seen the person that kind of herds all the kids together?
Yeah.
That's me. Yeah. So it's, I have to keep everybody, you know, in line, make sure the work gets in and out, like it should.
And maybe so one guy or one technician is not overloaded and somebody else is sitting here doing nothing.
Yeah, you know, I try and even out the workflow, and as well as when we have a technical issue that is going to tie up one of the guys for a long period of time, you know, it's something that I'll usually take on myself and I'll go and try and figure it up, keep them freed up to keep the workflow moving through the shop.
Well, you kind of enjoy getting a little grease under your fingernails and turning a few wrenches.
Well, I can't stand just sitting there at a desk.
You don't even look like a guy that would be comfortable sitting at a desk.
No, I don't like it.
So that microphone will bend if you want to stand up after
yeah.
a while.
Yeah, I think I'll be all right. I can sit here long enough for this. But,
oh, okay.
You know, my work area is out in the shop. You know, I don't have an office that I work in. I'm out there with the guys all day, you know, trying to keep my eye on what's going on and, you know, try and head off problems before they are a problem. Like I say, just taking on the ones that are maybe a little more technical that's going to tie someone up for a long time. Not that I don't have great guys that could do it themselves if they needed to, but you know, sometimes it's easier for someone like myself that you know, has been there, done that, and has a little less pressure to get a high volume of vehicles through to take on a project like that and make sure everything gets done right.
Okay, and it sounded and looks like you got an answer back to your text.
Yeah, Brian, maybe a couple minutes late calling in, but he's going to call in with us here in a little bit, and we'll talk about some of the deals we've got going on our new cars and trucks, and one of the the new releases from GM. We've got a new car. The Blazer is back. We've got a couple.
The Blazer
in there
is a truck or an SUV?
It's a crossover now. It used to be more of an SUV, but
right.
It's a crossover and
so it's
very
redesigned for 2019.
It is new. We just we've gotten two or three in, I think. I may be off on that, but yeah, we've gotten a few over the last couple of weeks. We've got a really good looking one there that we just got set up and sent up front for sales, and it's a really nice vehicle.
So
really
was Blazer discontinued for a period of time?
Yeah, I don't remember the last.
Because I used to have a good friend of mine I taught school with mm-hmm. out in Trinity Gardens, and he had a Blazer, and he loved it.
Yeah, the last Blazer was somewhere around 2001-ish, I think, 2002 mm-hmm. maybe.
So if you were a Blazer fan back in the day, you need to come see the new one.
Yep, absolutely. It's a really nice-looking vehicle, but we can get into some specifics there in just a little bit when we get Brian online with us. But we got a lot of good things going. Of course, we were right in the middle of Mardi Gras. We got all the Mardi Gras trucks out and about. And,
yeah. Now, would they be, when Mardi Gras is gone and over with, mm-hmm. will those vehicles then be sold at a bit of a discount?
They will, and that's one of the things I want to get into with Brian when we get him online. But, yeah, there's some great deals on a lot of vehicles.
I guess they'll be minus the Mardi Gras signs.
Well, if you want them on there, I'm sure they'd be glad to leave them there for you.
Yeah, but, well, it might make it unique
okay.
unless you were involved in a robbery and you needed a getaway vehicle.
Well, not that we're encouraging that, but yeah, it's you know, it would definitely stand out, no doubt. That bright yellow and green,
make it a little
gold,
easier for
whatever.
Eyewitnesses to describe the vehicle
as it sped
away.
that's right.
I want to ask you a question, and you and I have done these kind of shows together for so many years that I don't mind exposing my ignorance in this area.
Mm-hmm.
But my son helped a friend of mine work on his brakes over the weekend, and what they replaced, the pads and the discs were mm-hmm. okay.
Yeah.
But the caliper was hung up or
right.
frozen or stuck or whatever. Well, he had changed one once before and then changed the second mm-hmm. one yesterday. And we went to one of the auto parts store to get a new caliper.
Right.
And he gave him the old one. And otherwise, if he hadn't, it would have cost him more.
Right.
Why is that old core or that old caliper, why is that valuable?
Well, I mean, it's what you bought was a remanufactured caliper, which means they take your old one, give you a rebuilt one, and they'll take your core and rebuild it, and they'll sell it to the next guy.
You say core, is that the inner workings of it?
Well, the core is basically it's what you handed them. It's the old part. It's a core part. Basically, you have a core charge if you don't turn it back in.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just a term for you know, the old piece that you need to turn in so they can rebuild and
resell it.
And resell. You know?
Oh, okay.
So, you know, and
so if somebody's working doing it on their own brakes, don't throw the stuff away.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, some of that stuff, you know, of course, you know, brake rotors, there's no core charge on that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of things that there's not a core on. And you'll even get a core charge on a new part from time to time, mainly just so they can keep the influx of rebuildable cores coming in so they can, you know, keep affordable parts, you know, on the shelf. Yeah. Because, you know, you can always take a part and send it off and have it rebuilt. And sometimes that is the best option. But most of the time, it's nice to be able to just walk in, lay yours down, pick up another one, and move on. You know.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know, it's a very you know.
And let the time of rebuilding be on them rather than you.
Exactly. But
I have a follow up question to that, which we can do after the break mm-hmm. if your friend and coworker hasn't called in by then, and mm-hmm. that is, why did they change to brake pads in the back? Instead of brake shoes?
Yeah, and it's and we'll get into that when we get back, but it sounds like it's time for us to take a break, and we'll let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back after these messages.
Let me tell the story, I can tell it all, about the mountain boy who ran illegal alcohol. His daddy made the whiskey, son, he drove the load. When his engine roared, they called the highway Thunder Road. Sometimes into Asheville, sometimes Memphis town. The revenues chased him, but they couldn't run him down. Each time they thought they had him, his engine would explode. He'd go by like they were standing still on Thunder Road. Thunder, thunder, over Thunder Road. Thunder was his engine, and white lightning was his load. Moonshine, moonshine, to quench the devil's thirst. The law, they swore they'd get him, but the devil got him first.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, normally along with Tom Claxton. I tripped myself up on that one, but it's just me and Charlie tonight. But if you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text to 343-0106. Phone's been awful quiet tonight. So,
are we missing a big parade or Mardi Gras ball or something?
Oh, I'm sure there's parades going on.
Something's going on somewhere.
Yeah, we got this is basically the last week before Mardi Gras Day. So
if you went
parading pretty steady.
If you went downtown and your vehicle still got that problem you've been nursing along for months and months, mm-hmm. and it breaks down, can't say we didn't warn you. You should have called and found out what it was.
Yep. Well, if you need a tow, all you got to do is go downtown and park it in the wrong spot, and they'll tow it off for you.
Oh,
so that's not a problem.
There is a little bit of a charge for that, though. They don't do that for free.
Yeah, you know, it's a little tough to get it back sometimes.
Yeah, but that's the catch.
Let's see. We got one question here. Is it wise to buy a used U-Haul box truck? Are those maintained? Usually the U-Haul stuff is pretty well maintained.
Uh-huh.
They may have a bunch of miles on them, but it's usually pretty well maintained. Now they're driven by everybody, so you never know. But normally they're pretty well kept up. They're set and done for the general public to drive. They usually have they're usually automatic and power steering, power brakes, air conditioned, that so. It's
and pretty comfortable ride up in the cab.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. But we do have a caller online. Caller, you with us?
Hello. I tried speaking to them, but anyhow.
If you have a question, give us a call back. But Charlie did have a question about disc brakes on the back of vehicles.
I just wondered
earlier.
Why they shifted over.
Well.
And was that universal, or is that just in some vehicles?
Not necessarily universal, but the majority of the vehicles out there now are disc brake all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a much more efficient way to stop. They're much more efficient than drum brakes.
And easier to change out.
They're easier to change out.
You don't have to get that wrench with a hook on it to pull those springs back.
Yeah, and they're not cheaper by any means, but they do a better job.
Yeah.
So it's a better deal. They learned many, many years ago that disc brakes were definitely the way to go when it comes to stopping a vehicle.
Well, while we were doing the job, we got into this conversation. And, this will show you how exciting my life has become. But the conversation was, all right, if you push the brake pedal, what percentage of the braking is done by the front wheel brakes versus the back wheel?
It really depends on the vehicle, but it's usually like a 60-40 split.
Most of it's up front, though.
The majority of the braking is done up front. You have way more control slowing the front down than you do the rear too much.
Because all the weight's up there?
Well, if you slow the rear down faster than you do the front, it tends to skid out from under you, in the back. So
no fun.
The main thing, even with anti-lock brakes, is to maintain control of the vehicle as you're slowing down. That's the main focus of anti-lock brakes. It's not to stop you faster. It's to give you directional control of the car while you're stopping.
What about the emergency brake?
Is that back wheel? There's really not any such thing as emergency brake anymore. It's a parking brake.
Oh, okay. Because once upon a time, if your brakes went out, you could pull that handle up or hit that little pedal, and you could still stop yourself.
It would definitely slow you down. I've had it do me a lot of good, and I've had it do very little to help me. But it is there for a reason, but mainly it's there for a parking assist. Most of our vehicles now have electric parking brakes, and they won't let you apply them while you're going down the road. It's a while you're stopped only thing. So because that's really they're not meant for being used for your service brakes.
All right. Well, with the new vehicles, if you stop in a parking lot and it's on a pretty good hill, should you? And can you even depress a parking brake, or will the engine pretty well keep your vehicle in place if it's in gear?
Of course,
automatic,
really
you're going to put it in park anyway.
If you're in traffic and you're on a hill, a lot of vehicles now have what they call a hill assist start. So when you let off of the brake, it actually will keep the brakes applied until you touch the gas. Or for 3 or 5 or 4 seconds.
That explains why you don't see as many vehicles rolling back at a uphill traffic light.
Right. Yeah, and that's a big help. It keeps you from rolling back, and gives you a little more comfort in the car. But as far as sitting there with your park brake on, that's probably not the best idea. Most of our park brakes now will release when you go to touch the gas. But that's really not what they're meant for. So we don't really need the emergency brake feature, what they used to call on the older cars, because there's so much more safety built into the systems now, where the likelihood of losing complete brake pressure and stopping capability is pretty slim without any kind of warning anyway. You would know ahead of time that you have a brake problem before you ever got to that point. But years past, you had one brake line coming out of the mass cylinder, and if anything in that brake system on any wheel lost pressure, you lost all pressure. So that's where the emergency brake stuff was really important back then, is at least you had something to help slow you down. It wasn't real effective, but it beat running into something to stop.
Well, not to fixate on parking on a hill, but used to be back in my younger days, if the common advice was, and I think it was even in the Florida driver's manual, about parallel parking on a hill, that you should always leave your wheel either turned into the curb or away from the curb. I guess in case the vehicle started rolling, it would roll up against the curb and stop.
Right, and it was actually worked as a wheel chalk, more or less.
So is that still a good idea or unnecessary?
Well, it's always a good idea. Where we... And most people don't understand how to use a parking brake anyway, because you pull up on a hill, most people will put it in park, let off the brake, and then set the parking brake, and that's the wrong way to do it, because you're still relying on the parking pawl and the transmission to hold the car. You should really pull up, put it in park, leave your foot on the brake, apply the parking brake, and then relax your foot off the brakes. That way the parking brake is actually holding the vehicle.
And I'm thinking, if the curb is to my right, then I'm going to turn the front wheel into
to the left. If you're going uphill.
So that way, if it does roll, the front end is going to just go against the curb and stop.
Right.
Yeah.
That's if
plus you can get out of the parking spot when you're ready to leave.
Well, that's assuming anyone knows how to parallel park anymore. I don't think that's part of the test anymore, so I don't know that anybody really can.
Yeah, either that or people would be taking their driver's test with those self-parking vehicles.
Yeah, it's and those are more and more prevalent. You know, the park assist and the 360-degree cameras and all this kind of stuff, you can actually do – it's a way easier to park now because you got a picture of the curb right there on your dash, you know, so you know how close you are to it and can get a good spot there without being stuck way out in traffic or run up over the curb trying to get there. So, but, you know, it's the technology on the vehicles, you know, it's a good thing. But I'm just worried that somewhere down the road we're going to take so much of it out of the hands of the driver that the skill level of the driver is going to go down. And what happens if we don't have all these babysitter functions in the car to help the driver, you know? And are they going to be more focused or less focused driving? I just think it's going to take and encourage them to be less focused when they're driving.
I don't know if I heard it from on this show, you and Tom talking, or if it was somewhere else, but it was talking about somebody was trying to carjack a vehicle. Mm-hmm. And they couldn't pull it off because they had a stick shift and they did not know how to do a manual transmission. And that kind of speaks to that same area.
Yep.
If you get too used to technology, then maybe you're not quite as good a driver as you used to be.
Yeah. It's, I tell you, you would be amazed how few people know how to drive a standard shift nowadays, you know, especially the younger generation.
Are they still selling them?
They do. Yeah. They're not near as prevalent as they used to be, but, you know, they're still out there and they're still building them, still selling them. You know, I personally believe, and I taught my son how to drive on a standard shift. I think it makes them more
focused.
If they
can do a standard shift, they can sure drive an automatic.
Exactly. You know, it's, you know, it keeps them from being a two-footed driver, mm-hmm. you know, because if you got to use your left foot for something, you can't keep it on the brake all the time. You know,
that's
so,
right.
So I just think it's a good way to learn how to drive. You know, it never hurts to be able to drive whatever you can get into.
Sorry about the wrong time cue there.
I was going to say, you said we had 30 seconds left and you're already playing the bump music. Yep. But that's all right. We're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back. I played the song The Truck Driving Man. And the waitress, she brought me some coffee. I thanked her and I called her back again. I said that old song sure does fit me. Cause darling, I'm a truck driving man. Pour me another cup of coffee, cause it is the best in the land. And put another quarter in the jukebox and play that song, The Truck Driving Man.
All now, Johnny.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle, normally along with Tom Claxton, but he's a little puny tonight, so we let him stay home. And have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. And we do have Mr. Brian Smith on line with us. And Brian, how you doing this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, we're doing good. Doing good. Just sitting here running our jaws like always.
Can we ask him about the Blazer right up front?
Sure. Come on.
Absolutely.
Well, we were Kevin and I were talking about at the beginning of the show that the Blazer had been discontinued a number of years ago, and once upon a time, that was a very popular vehicle, and I asked the question, if people were Blazer lovers in the past, should they come check out the 2019 version?
Absolutely. I tell you, this new Blazer, it is something else to see. No one can't go in the bathtub, buddy. And it, I apologize.
It's good.
It is an absolute trip to be around a 2 year or 3 year old.
Yeah.
But this new Blazer, it is absolutely fantastic. It's unbelievable to see the advances they've made just from year over year. You know, even from the last time we had a Blazer to a new Blazer.
Oh, is this a mid-sized vehicle?
It is. It is a mid-sized vehicle. It's technically in between Equinox and a Traverse.
Mm-hmm.
It's a five-passenger vehicle. Tons of power to it, and it is really well equipped too.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that I was looking at with you. Mm-hmm. I guess it was yesterday, or actually it was this morning. But we were looking at it, and it's really a nice, well-appointed vehicle. Just the trim level inside, I was kind of surprised. It was really nicely appointed.
It really is. It's from the leather and the heated and cooled seats and all on it. I'll tell you what really blew me away about it was the size of the sunroof. You open that thing up, and it's almost like being in a convertible.
Wait a minute, Brian. Did you say heated and cooled seats?
Heated and cooled seats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of people,
know about the heated seats.
But a lot of people don't understand the cooled seat part. But they do have cooled seats. The truck I'm driving now has them. During the summertime, you would be amazed how much difference it makes when you climb in one and the seats have – when you hit your remote start and it runs the cooled seats for a few minutes before you climb in. Because that's one of the main things people didn't like about leather seats was how hot
Correct.
They get in the summer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Correct, and it does make a big difference in it.
Yeah. My wife was the same way. She was like, I just don't like leather seats. They get so hot. It's like, well, you know, we can do leather seats and get cooled, get them cooled.
Exactly.
Yeah.
To me, it's one of those features that I love to have, and I don't know if I would be able to go without it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, in the summertime, definitely, the trucks I drive, I try and find them that have that feature on them. So especially during the summer. During the winter, it's not a big deal. You know, pretty much everything we have now has a heated seat, but the cooled seating in the summertime is definitely a nice feature.
Right.
But I know we got of course we have the new Blazer there, and I noticed we're starting to thin out a little bit on our 18 model trucks, but we still got a pretty good selection of those too, don't we?
You know, we really do. That's one thing that I was proud to be able to do this year as far as inventory compared to last year's inventory.
Mm-hmm.
Is last year it seemed like we ran out really quick before I would really like to run out.
Right.
So this year we did a little better with inventory and being able to carry on longer. To last us while the good rebates are there,
right? That's the thing, is they've got such a good rebate on the 18s. It's hard to walk past the 18 and go to the 19 unless you really want to have that 19. Yeah,
you're absolutely correct. It's very hard to walk past the 18 until you get a 19.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the 18 has been a tried and true, very nice truck. We've had that body around since 14. They've had a long time to get those worked out and all the bugs worked out of them, and that's a
Absolutely.
Very good truck. Yeah. We've also got reskinned the Camaro a little bit for this year too, didn't they?
They did. Camaro got a little bit of a facelift on it this year, just a nip and a tuck here just to keep it fresh.
Oh, yeah. We keep talking about the options in that, and just I keep finding little things on this 19 model truck that I'm driving. It's incredible all the little things that it can do. Yeah.
It really is. I tell you, I know we talked about it some at work. I wish y'all could have seen me that morning when I went to hook a boat trailer up to that truck, and I was trying to figure out the new trailer profile on it.
Uh-huh.
Everybody would have died laughing. That had to have been the funniest thing, me trying to figure out just how to get the trailer brake lights to come on.
Well, how did you do it?
The awesome thing about this new truck is it has what they call a trailer profile app.
Mm-hmm.
You go in and you set up what type of trailer you have.
Wait a minute, you have an app for that?
We do have an app for that, but the good news is this app is actually on the radio screen.
Right.
So you set up your app on it, tell it what kind of trailer it is. And let's just say, for instance, this trailer has trailer brakes on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to have a certain gainer bias on the trailer brakes for
right.
it to get it to where you need it. Once you disconnect that trailer, after you, of course, set up this profile on it, the next time you go to pull that particular trailer with it, it already remembers everything about it.
Right.
So you don't have to do anything new at all for it.
Mm-hmm.
If you have, especially Kevin, I know you know people that have pulled tandem axle trailers before. If they have, sometimes you may not feel a tire going down. Well, they now have tire monitors that go inside your trailer tires to alert the vehicle
right.
that you could have a tire pressure going down.
Yeah,
that to me is absolutely unbelievable. The biggest game changer alone on it to me is the fact that now, if you just want to make sure your trailer lights are working, you don't have to go back to the cab and flip the turn signal the other way or hit the brakes or find somebody to help you. You just tell it to run the test, and
right.
it'll cycle through all the lights and let you know that it's working.
Yeah, and that's the really neat thing is not only does it monitor the lighting on the truck, but it's also monitoring the lighting on the trailer to let you know if you have something. And it's not unusual to have a trailer connector come loose while you're driving or just
right.
a poor connection, you can leave the house and everything be working great and get a mile down the road and it comes loose or loses connection and you don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Speaking of connections, are they pretty easy to hook up? Is it pretty easy to hook up the wiring?
It really is. I tell you, with all these vehicles nowadays, with all the cameras on them,
mm-hmm.
whenever anybody asks me, well, how good are they? I don't mind telling anybody. I've gotten quite lazy with backing up
yeah.
and pulling into places, and I've realized that these things are a whole lot better at judging distance than what I am, where I may feel like I'm on top of something.
Mm-hmm.
Now all of a sudden this camera's telling me I've got a good solid, 3.5-4 foot.
Yeah, those little squares at the bottom of the screen.
Right.
Right, right. If I'm trying to navigate a parking spot. Now they've got on the trailer, if you're backing up to a trailer, instead of just having the reverse camera where it shows you, you now zoom in right over that hitch, and it'll tell you exactly
mm-hmm.
are you right on it, or do you need to go back or forward or wherever it may be.
Yeah, the reverse camera on for backing up to a trailer, that if you have never used one, if you ever do, you'll never pull a trailer without one because it's just
absolutely
all this backing up and someone trying to guide you back, and they're all it never works.
And then you have to put some muscle on the trailer to move
right.
it that last half inch or so.
I mean, you can get it dead on to where you just let the trailer down on top of the ball. I mean, it's just incredible how much easier it is to back a trailer up, have a vehicle up to a trailer.
Hey, can we ask him about the Mardi Gras vehicles?
Yeah.
What are y'all using in Mardi Gras? Is it all trucks, or do you have some other vehicles as well?
No, I am using all trucks. That was something that we've been very fortunate this year to be able to partner with a lot of the parade organizations to provide them pull vehicles for Mardi Gras.
Mm-hmm.
And I've really got a good mix of vehicles that we're using. I've used some 2500 diesels. I've used some of the 18 model 1500s just to show, hey, we have a few left if you're looking to take
right.
advantage of some great savings. And then I've also taken this opportunity to really use it as a debut for the 19 model Silverado,
mm-hmm.
which is great that it coincides with the national launch of the new Silverado also.
Right, right. Everybody that's listening, you see these, beautiful new Silverados pulling the floats around downtown, and you see the signs on them. You don't necessarily see UJ on them, but guess what? They're from UJ.
So, they are from UJ. you know, per Chevrolet, got to follow Chevrolet's rules, and I couldn't have it plastered all over the vehicle since I did have to get permission from Chevrolet. But I do have our name and certain parts on the vehicles, and you can see them.
Yeah. So once Fat Tuesday is come and gone, then come down and see you for some great prices.
Absolutely.
You could probably even talk them into it before then. Yeah.
Absolutely. I've already, it was funny, they showed up Saturday to pick them up, to head on down there. And I said, wait. I'm going to need this one, this one, and this one. I know these are going to be installed today, so y'all can take these others.
Right.
So if you see one that you like, no need to wait till after Mardi Gras comes in, and we'll make it work right then.
Yeah, absolutely. It's and you've got a good mix. There's a bunch of good looking trucks out there. You got pulling those floats around, but
there really is. It's a lot of good looking trucks out there.
Yeah, it is. And you know, we've I know we're about to run out of our.
I was just going to ask Brian if he could hang with us for another segment.
If you can hang around just a little bit, we'll get into some more stuff here when we get back. But we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors. And we'll be back after these messages.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is The Car Doctor, Kevin Raywinkle, normally along with Tom Claxton, who's a little under the weather tonight. So we let him stay home, and we do have Mr. Brian Smith, sales manager from UJ Chevrolet, online with us. Talking to him a little bit about some of our new inventory and some of the really neat things they got on them nowadays. But Brian, you know, we didn't really get into much on the cars, but we do have a fair inventory of cruises and that kind of stuff.
Malibu. We've got some Impalas, even on the smaller side. If you're looking for a city car like the Sonics and the Sparks.
Yeah. It you know, and you mentioned the Malibu. That has turned out to be a really nice little car.
It really is. I always make them a little bit nervous at work when I'll go and order a bunch of them.
Yeah.
But I always make sure to have plenty of those because Malibus are always real popular. In fact, I was telling someone earlier this month, out of all the cars we've sold this month, meaning, you know, actual passenger cars,
mm-hmm.
all of them but two have been Malibus.
Yeah.
So that's really impressive to see that.
Yeah, you know, and like we were saying earlier, you know, they're a really nice little car. You know, they're very well appointed, the options. And it's a safe car. We've seen some that have gone through some pretty bad impacts. That you know, it's all about keeping the driver safe. You know, so you know it may bend, it may be pretty damaged, but you know, I really haven't seen it intrude into the passenger compartment, you know, on these.
You're absolutely correct. It really take that and expand that upon all the vehicles across all product lineups. I've seen a lot of our vehicles that have been damaged over mm-hmm. the years in accidents and all, and it is absolutely incredible mm-hmm. to see how well these things hold up under impacts that you think, you know, somebody shouldn't walk away from, but yet they do.
Yeah. Well, you
Equinox
know,
Equinox and Malibu and all of them.
Yeah. You know, the technology has come so far ahead of where it used to be. You know, even a car that's like 10 years old, it's nowhere near as strong or safe as one that's built now. You know,
no, absolutely not. It may not have as much sheet metal or anything tore up on it or any dents or whatever, but you know, that's the thing that I don't think a lot of people understand or really realize that mm-hmm. these things are designed to crumple for a reason. And
right.
it's all about absorbing that energy so that your body isn't absorbing it.
Exactly. You know, they're, you know, a lot of people think that, you know, okay, well, you know, my kids are going to, I know they're going to get in a wreck, you know, I'm not going to put them in a new car for their first car. And I feel their pain.
Because
I understand. I had a boy that learned to drive at 16, just like everybody else's. You know, and he went through those growing pains as well. You know, we were able to keep his going through a couple wrecks, but luckily no one ever got hurt. But you know, the technology, and if you want that peace of mind, you know, to have your kids in a safe vehicle, the new vehicle is definitely the way to go. Yeah.
You know, it really is. Unfortunately, that's something my family does know something about is, you know, car accidents over the last couple of years. It seems like I was involved in one back when I was in college, and it was an older truck. It was a 95 model two-door Tahoe.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, I don't even know if you know, but that black one I have, I actually rolled that thing.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it took a beating. You know, I was beat black and blue from it.
Right,
but I was able to walk away, which is good with it. And all, my sister was in a horrific car accident with an Equinox and a head-on collision.
Yep,
and her car looked absolutely destroyed. But for her to get out of that thing and walk away with nothing wrong, that was absolutely incredible.
Right, right.
And also another family member that had a Traverse that was wrecked. And it, you know, there's a reason I put my wife in a Traverse.
Exactly.
And that's,
exactly.
You know, when I want her to be safe, but more importantly, she's driving with our child. And, you know, I want to give them the biggest vehicle out there that she's comfortable with handling to protect them.
Exactly. You know, and not only the structure of the vehicle and the safety innovations of the airbags and all that. But there's just so much driver assist to where, okay, if you're not paying attention, you have a collision avoidance system and alert system that lets you know that, hey, something's slowing down in front of you. You might want to do something
right
about it, you know?
Right.
It's, you know.
And really the way they're integrating it now, Kevin, I think your truck has it, but the one I'm driving has the heads-up display.
Yeah,
where while you're driving, your driver assist, and
mm-hmm.
a car is in front of you and slams on the brakes all of a sudden, and it doesn't think you've detected it. It's flashing on the windshield, and it's telling you right there on the windshield, hey, you need to hit the brakes, and if you don't, I'm going to start applying them, and it will.
Right.
Same way if you get too close to getting out of the lane, it's going to let you know, hey, you're getting out of your lane, come on back to the center. And if you don't, I'm going to help you come back to the center.
Right, right. You know, and it's, trust me, I know, it's very easy. If you have kids in the back seat, it's easy to get distracted and turn around and look and see what's going on when you're hearing something you shouldn't hear, or don't hear something when you should hear it. You know,
yeah.
You know, silence is suspicious when you have kids. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, so you're going to look around and look and see what's going on. And, you know, when you take your eyes off the road, you know, something needs to alert you that something's happening in front of you.
Absolutely. And it'll do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, you know, and you know, with the in the unfortunate instance that you do have an accident, there's the OnStar system, to me, is incredible how fast it gets a advisor talking to you after an accident. Yeah,
it really is. And that's one thing, fortunately for me, I've never experienced, is having to talk to them.
Yep.
About how accurate they are, or how quickly they are, I should say. But that's one thing I've always heard is, you know, the accident happens and they're on the phone, it seems like, before the accident's really even over.
Is OnStar available on all your vehicles?
It is. It's available on all our products.
Yep, yep.
And one thing I do find interesting, I did not know this until really within about the last year, is I knew they would always answer you, but in the event that you have a small child in the vehicle or a young child and the parent maybe, let's just say, not conscious or disoriented or something like that, the advisors are actually crisis-trained advisors who know how to handle the situations. And even talk to the kids, one, to make sure the child's all right, but two, get the information they need to assist the first responders before they get to the accident.
Right.
You know, what to be looking for on, you know, mama, daddy, or wherever the injury may be.
Right.
And I just think that alone is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, and as you know, and a lot of our listeners know, I had the unfortunate incident with a deer about a year ago with one of my vehicles. And before I got off to the side of the road, I was talking to an OnStar advisor. So,
yeah.
Hey, Brian, before our time is completely gone, people want to come see you for a new car. When is UJ open?
We're open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., and then on Saturdays from 9 to 6.
Yep. Well, come on out and see Brian Smith at UJ Chevrolet. He'd be glad to put you in a new vehicle, but we are running out of time here. We're going to have to get out of here. But, Brian, I appreciate you calling in and enlightening our listeners tonight. And
no problem, sir.
I will see you in the morning, as always. But I want to thank my listeners for tuning in tonight, and we'll be back next week.
And once she's left me on the side of the road, the older she gets, the slower we go. But there ain't nothing wrong with the radio.